We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. 2019 was not a good year for farmers. From small dairy farms struggling to survive across Wisconsin, to a trade war that impacts the sales of big agricultural crops, to our local produce farms, it has been grim. Farming contributor Dave Kozlowski of Pine Hole Gardens in Oak Creek says that while normally farmers like the challenge of adapting, this past season was a new low, and climate change has a large part to do with it. The Milwaukee area had just over 46 total inches of rain, nearly beating the record of 50 inches that was set in 1876. It was the third wettest season on record and had less than 50 fair days in the entire year. The saturated ground meant no or delayed planting, impacting not just produce but farmers' finances. Farm bankruptcies for the Midwest were up 13% in 2019, and all of these conditions have had a big emotional impact for farmers as well. And yet, consumers still expect the same produce to be available. Kozlowski joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about his last season at Pinehold and what really should be done to address the changing conditions in farming.
Dave Kozlowski, welcome back to Lake Effect. It's great to have you in the studio again.
Yes, it's been a while.
Yes. So, maybe starting it on a challenging note, but could you describe your 2019 season in 1 to 3 words?
How about ick?
Ick. I suppose that's a light way to put it.
2019 was not a good year for us, for just about every farmer I know. And you come to the end of the season like that, and for the first time in 25 years, I begin to question whether, do I really want to do this anymore? The answer was yes. I'm back. But it was a tough year.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a tough year every way.
Yeah. I know what sticks out in my mind, and I'm sure even more so for farmers' mind, is just the massive amount of water and flooding we had. So what environmental and weather conditions impacted the 2019 season the greatest?
Rain. We were very close to eclipsing the most precipitation we've ever gotten in a year, which is 50 inches. We had 46, a little over 46 inches of rain. And a lot of that came in pretty heavy downfalls. Spring was wet, held up planting for us and every other farmer I know, and periodic rain through the summer, and then the fall was wet. So it hampered, for all of us, planting. We at Pinehold, I probably composted a couple dozen flats of plants that never got planted. And so what does that mean? I don't know. It's probably like 4,000 plants or something like that. I know a lot of farmers that sent their seed, their corn and soybean seed, back. They couldn't get in. In fact, nationally, so it was wet in Wisconsin, but it was wet all over the Midwest. And nationally, something like 20 million acres never got planted. And that would have been more than likely corn and soybean. The accompaniment to wet weather is clouds. So the Milwaukee area, according to the Weather Service, had only 46 clear days. They call them fair days. The rest of the days were either partly cloudy or all cloudy. Madison, same thing. It's hard to even remember a really summerish kind of day last summer. It was cool, it was cloudy, it was rainy. And all that rain has all sorts of ramifications besides not being able to get into the ground, because even the things that we all as farmers got into the ground, now the soil is so wet constantly that we couldn't cultivate. And so the weeds take off. So efforts that I myself have been putting in, and I suspect other farmers as well, in eradicating the weeds that were coming up, we lost, because the weeds that were out there went to seed, and now you start all over again. So you come to the end of the year like that, and you just wonder, like, I really want to do this again. And then, of course, fall came, and we couldn't harvest everything. We couldn't harvest potatoes, sweet potatoes. I apologize to the crew. I had them out there standing in mud up to our ankles, pulling sweet potatoes out of the ground by hand because I couldn't take a tractor in. We got to a point finally where I said, that's it. Forget it. We're just not going to do this anymore.
Right.
So, and you lose carrots and we lost broccoli and other crops to the wet. So it was just a really disappointing year. And I hope that consumers can understand this, both our customers and farm market and even restaurants and grocery stores.
Right, because we think, oh, it's not so hot of a summer. This is really nice that I'm not getting sunburned and sweating all the time. Right. But when that's something that is key and crucial in getting produce, we're not thinking about that.
Right. And it affects farmers. It affects really anybody who works outdoors. It affected, construction was behind because of the weather. So, 2009, that was a lulu.
Ick. So what does that mean for farms and the products that they produce? You mentioned your crops. Yeah. You couldn't do everything. What does it mean for, the large, big egg crops like corn, wheat, soybean, even hemp, those things that other Wisconsin farms, single crop producers rely on?
Well, again, something like 30% of the crops never got planted in the springtime. So there's a loss of income there. All the rain also contributes. This is our farm and every farm contributes to soil saturation, which hampers the growth of the plants. And then, of course, there's runoff, and that's, big in the Mississippi River and the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. With all that rain, that water, that there was a lot of erosion, a lot of chemicals washed off the plant, off the fields, into the river and down into the Gulf of Mexico. In fact, the Mississippi River, I don't remember the numbers anymore, but it surprised me. It was like the highest flow rate at one point on the Mississippi River in 30 years. And with it, all that soil and chemicals and things. It affects the harvest for those guys too in corn and soybean, because now a lot of farmers were planning on planting one type of corn, say, that had 110 days to maturity. They were getting in late, so now they had to get rid of that corn and they had to buy what they call short day corn and hopefully got that in. But now they have different maturation dates on the corn, so harvesting was affected. And then harvesting went on until December and January because the fields were still wet and they weren't freezing. My neighbor, who does some corn and soybean, he combined his soybeans in the week, I think, between Christmas and New Year's.
Wow.
Yeah. And what happens there, unfortunately, is because that crop has been out in the field so long and the pods froze, the combine comes by, hits the pods, they shatter, spreading soybeans all over the place, not in the tractor, and so your yield then goes down further.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have not heard anybody say that it was a good year
right.
for farming last year.
You mentioned we almost hit that record of accumulated inches of rainfall. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to connect this that past is or isn't prologue? Because in that last big rainfall, if that was one-time thing, was there really an example of what to do to combat this,
Right, right. That's the big talk this winter. We had conversations with a number of, albeit mostly small to medium-sized growers, and everybody is a little anxious about this coming season, befuddled and confused about what to do. The gist of it is they're thinking that, as we are, that the old ways of doing things just aren't going to cut it. And so we have to change the way we do things.
Systemically, right?
Systemically, yeah. And it's going to be another new learning curve for us in farming, which generally we like these sort of challenges. But
not when they keep beating you down.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's going to happen. People are talking about throwing tarps on their soil, more tarps on their soil, big, heavy tarps made out of plastic.
So would this capture water and divert it? Or?
Well, no, you would think that. But no, it's not a water thing. It's a weed thing.
Okay.
They're hoping to kill the weeds before they plant so that if the ground does get wet, they're not going to have to get in there and cultivate. So that's one thing. Other people are looking at going back to raised beds and permanent beds and things like that. Plowing in the fall. A lot of us have decided not to do that because it's really not good for the soil to plow in the fall. But people are thinking, well, you know, what am I going to do? I have to get in the springtime, so we're going to plow in the fall. Yeah, it changes. And it's a bit discomforting, you know.
Right.
This is our 26th year. I thought I had a system.
Thought it'd be easy sailing.
Yeah, I'm cruising right into retirement now. But no, it's not the way it's going to work out. Right?
Yeah, because this climate crisis means this continued erratic weather. So there's no, you know, I suppose, you know, we think of the farmer's almanac or there's structure in the seasons. But if that is at risk and definitely not a reliable factor anymore, how do you think that, well, you mentioned some of the way you're responding, but overall, even big farmers responding, or how does this impact and possibly influence how you think consumers should then respond?
Yeah. Well, to the consumer's point, I haven't noticed yet that, like, food prices have gone up much. They popped up a little bit, but not much. And this is not from my experience as a shopper because my wife does all the shopping.
Sure.
Just USDA statistics. But I suspect that they will go up. And that will be the trend. If there's not corn and soybean available, then there's not animal feed available or oils or whatever it is that we use in all our products. So, and of course, when the supply is less, the price goes up. So you'd expect that to probably inch up as far as the consumers. So they will be impacted by this, even though they think it's not their concern. It is. The farmers, I really don't know. I don't know how people who do 1,000 acres of soybeans are going to respond to constant wet weather. Equipment changes, maybe. A lot of big guys now use tracks on their tractor rather than tires so that they can float on top of that wet soil more. Maybe there will be genetic differences made to the seeds to withstand wet weather more. There was a little bit of talk about that in some of the press. But I don't know. To be honest, I really don't know how we're going to cope with this. And the thing about the climate crisis is that people have said to me, you know, is this the new normal now that we're going to have wet springs and wet falls? And I said, well, my understanding is there is going to be no new normal because everything is going to be so erratic and crazy, which makes it even harder. I mean, if I knew that every spring it was going to be wet, we would make adjustments to that, but we don't know. And I told my wife yesterday, watch, we're making these changes and the spring will be dry.
Yeah, you never know. And I imagine this puts a massive toll on you, not just financially,
yeah,
obviously, because you're losing what you can plant, what you can harvest, but your attitude towards farming, your mental health,
yeah,
your
yeah.
well-being.
The one thing about being in our profession is that you actually do find yourself alone a lot. Even in a community like us, we have a, you know, basically an urban farm, but you're pretty much in this on your own. And a lot of farms and farmers lead that sort of solitary life. And so they don't know, they have nobody to lean on. They have nobody to complain to. They have nobody to give them a hand. When you get a hard year like 2019, and 2018 wasn't exactly a cakewalk, it gets harder and harder. And people are talking about getting out. But you've got some people that they have to stay in. I mean, this is their job. You know, when things get tough, they just can't drop out and try to find something else because this is what they do. This is what they've invested in. Farming is not just a job. I mean, it's a business, and so we invest in it. And you can't just walk away from it that easily. So I feel bad for, gosh, especially a lot of the new young farmers that are getting in who are beginning to question their move. And they might have a lot more debt than us old geezers that are in it. So
right. I know you have we've talked about it a little bit before about your a little more, not lax relationship with money, but you understand things change every year and it's not necessarily about we need to meet these X amount number deadlines
right.
because you can't rely on that necessarily. But I imagine the financial weight of it is just ever increasing.
It is. We just did our taxes. I know
yeah.
that we didn't do as well last year as we've done years before. So, but again, you know, we do have debt, but it might mean maybe we can't hire two or three people this year. Maybe we can only hire one, which means more work for everybody else.
Right.
A bad season affects you emotionally. It affects you physically. It affects the soil by diluting it. There's a lot of bounce back that's got to happen this year.
You mentioned the feeling alone when you are reflecting on this season, and a lot of other farmers feeling the same way. Do you think that there's a possibility that farmers will reach out, regroup with each other now? Or are you thinking about maybe just doing that within your own community a little more?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I hope, because we have a CSA, we know that in notes that people have sent us over the winter, that there's some support there, not just physically, just, you know, emotional support for us. And that's important. But not everybody, of course, has that CSA, that direct community attraction or a connection. And so we also have got to hang out with each other and help each other get through this thing. We know a couple of young farmers. One in particular thought he never wanted to do this again either. Of course, he's back. But you need to have some sort of sense of we're in this together. We'll figure this out together, you know. And if you need help, we'll help you. And if I need help, I know you'll help me. So farmers generally are pretty good like that.
Yeah. What can we as consumers do or understand or keep in mind going forward besides bringing your own bags?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I'm not Pollyannish. I know that we, as local producers, we provide probably less. I don't know what the recent statistics are, but we probably provide less than 5% of people's food needs, not counting grocery stores, but direct-to-consumer stuff. So we know that they have other access to food, and we know that they like other things than what we produce. But for those things that they do buy from us, I would hope they'd understand, if we had to raise our prices, that it might cost a little more because we need to get through these. We need to make changes. These changes are going to cost money. If you want us to keep producing, you need to be able to help us out. You also need to understand that when you go to a farmer's market, you might not see the tomatoes as early as we normally would produce them. So don't go shopping someplace else right away. We'll have them. And understand that there's changes at the farmer's market that could affect your shopping or your purchases and things like that. And try to stick with the local producers.
All right, Dave. Well, thank you very much. And I look forward to more talks with you. And I'm glad you're sticking with it another year.
I look forward to it. And 2020 will be a good year.
Yes, let's make it so.
Lake Effect contributor Dave Kozlowski and his wife Sandy Rodens co-own Pine Hole Gardens in Oak Creek, and you can listen to our past farming segments with him at wuwm.com.